Welcome to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. Our prayer is that God will use His Word to change your life and fill your heart with hope. And now, here's Ron.
Well, hello there, friend, and thank you for tuning into the broadcast and to this special Holy Week presentation we're calling The Last Words of Jesus from the Cross. Today, my Bible is open to John chapter 19, and I'm reading from verses 25 and 26. It says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing there, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." I'd like to talk to you about the words of honor that Jesus spoke from the cross to his mother Mary. You know, Tammy Wynette has been called the first lady of country music. She's best known for her 1968 hit single titled "Stand By Your Man." Do you remember that song? The song reached number one on the charts and stayed there for 13 weeks, making it the biggest selling song by a female artist in the history of country music. What does that have to do with Holy Week and words of honor that Jesus spoke to his mother Mary? Well, John chapter 19, verses 25 and 26 is what I like to call the "Stand By Your Man" passage in the New Testament. In this case, four women, including Jesus's mother Mary, and a beloved disciple stood by Jesus as he suffered on the cross. They stood by a man others thought was disgraced. Now, we know that Jesus did not bear his own disgrace, but he bore their disgrace and he bore our disgrace. Crucifixion, friend, was a disgraceful way to die. This cruel form of execution was reserved for the lowest slugs in society. And the Jews believed that he who hangs on a tree is cursed. No wonder they scoffed at the thought of Jesus being the Messiah, the King of the Jews. No wonder the disciples fled. No wonder those who stood with him near the cross were in the minority. You see, friend, most stood at a distance and sneered at Jesus as he hung on the cross, but not these four women and not this beloved disciple who joined them. Now, perhaps they didn't fully grasp the purpose of his death, but each one of them had a story to tell about how Jesus changed their life. You know, as New Testament believers, we understand by faith that Jesus willingly took our disgrace so that we could receive God's amazing grace. Hey, let me say that again. Jesus willingly took our disgrace so that we could receive God's amazing grace. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 13 encourages us this way: "Let us then go to Jesus outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore." Listen, friend, have you taken your stand with Jesus at the cross? This is what four women and a beloved disciple did 2,000 years ago. Let me give you their names again. They were Mary, the mother of Jesus; Mary's sister Salome, the mother of James and John; Mary, the wife of Clopas; and of course, Mary Magdalene. John, the beloved disciple, was also there. And it was at this time that Jesus spoke words of honor to his mother Mary. In his book, Christ's Words from the Cross, Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher from a previous generation, says this: "Last at the cross, first at the sepulcher. No woman's lips betrayed her Lord. No woman's hand ever smote him. Their eyes wept for him. They gazed upon him with pitying awe and love. God bless the Marys," Spurgeon says. "When we see so many of them at the cross, we feel that we honor the very name of Mary." So, friend, let's take a closer look at these remarkable women and the disciple who stood with Jesus, and let's focus our attention on the words of honor that Jesus spoke to his mother, Mary. Well, let's start with the other Marys before we get to Mary, the mother of Jesus. The first Mary is Mary's sister. She received a rebuke and grew from it. Of the four women that stood with Jesus, we know nothing about Mary, the wife of Clopas, other than the fact that she was there, and we'll give her credit for that. And we know little about Mary's sister. Many scholars believe she is Salome, the wife of Zebedee, and the mother to James and John, the sons of thunder. And if this is true, then Mary's sister is the one who tried to negotiate her sons' positions in the kingdom. She asked that her sons, James and John, sit at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. Do you remember that? And Jesus summarily rebuked her and her sons for their selfish ambition. But I'll give Salome credit for standing with Jesus near the cross. Yes, Jesus rebuked her, and she could have walked off in a huff, but she didn't. She stood with him, and she received his rebuke and grew from it. In the end, she takes her stand with Jesus near the cross, and I just salute her and say, way to go, Salome. And then there's Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is the woman Jesus rescued from a life of terrible oppression. Luke chapter 8 and verse 2 says that seven demons came out of her. Because she met Jesus, Mary experienced freedom and deliverance from the power of darkness, and she was forever grateful and became one of Jesus's closest followers. In fact, Mary's story reminds me of the words the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, "For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Nobody had been rescued from a darker domain than Mary Magdalene when those seven demons came out of her. Luke also tells us that Mary Magdalene, along with several other women, help support the ministry financially out of their own means. And so again, I salute Mary Magdalene, not only for standing with Jesus at the cross, but for all that she did to support the ministry. A couple years ago, a guy named Dan Brown, an author, wrote a bestseller called The Da Vinci Code, and he tried to make more of the relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene, even suggesting they had a sexual relationship, if you can imagine that. Brown never believed that Jesus actually died on the cross. His theory was that he ran off with Mary Magdalene to Africa. Well, it's an old legend, and it caught the attention of Hollywood executives who turned the book into a movie, and it became a hit movie in Hollywood. But Brown's wild speculations are just unsupported by the trusted gospel records that we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're based on wild speculation and hearsay. Hey, if Jesus was having a romantic relationship with Mary Magdalene, he had every opportunity to speak to her, to speak even sweet nothings to her from the cross. But he never spoke to Mary Magdalene from the cross. Instead, he only spoke to his mother, Mary. Irma Bombeck was a humorist and an author who always made people laugh and think deeply about life at the same time. She wrote a book titled, "If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, Then What Am I Doing in the Pits?" Isn't that a great title for a book? Mary, the mother of Jesus, might have thought life was anything but a bowl of cherries as she stood at the cross and watched her son suffer a cruel and bloody death. I wonder if she was thinking about the sword that Simeon mentioned in a prophecy when he met Mary and the baby Jesus in the temple. A man named Simeon finds his way into the Christmas story. He served in the temple, you might remember, in Jerusalem all his life. God told him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah with his own eyes. And that day came when Mary and Joseph showed up in the temple and presented the baby Jesus. Now, Simeon said some beautiful things about the infant Messiah, and he also gave Mary reason to believe that she'd spend some time in the pits. Listen to Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. It says, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many will be revealed.'" And then, friend, Simeon showed Mary the pits. He goes on to say, "And a sword will pierce your own soul." Mary must have wondered what Simeon meant by a sword. She was still trying to process all that was happening since learning that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Over time, she would feel that sword pierce her heart and travel deeply into her soul. Perhaps the first time came when the boy Jesus was found in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening and asking questions. You know, for days, Mary and Joseph had been frantically looking for him. And when they found him, Jesus looked at them and said, "Why are you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Perhaps Mary felt the tip of the sword just touch her flesh at that time. Many years later, Jesus performed his first miracle at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. It was when he turned the water into wine. The wine had run dry, and Mary asked Jesus, to fix the problem. And he responds to her with respect, but he sternly said to her, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." Here we see Jesus beginning to distance himself from his earthly mother by essentially saying to her, "I don't live on your timetable anymore." And it's as though the sword just goes in a little bit deeper. Matthew records a time when someone approached Jesus and said, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." And his response must have driven the sword into Mary's heart even further. Matthew chapter 12 records, "He replied to them, 'Who is my mother and brothers?' Pointing to his disciples, he said, 'Here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." You know, I wonder if the psalmist had this in mind. Psalm chapter 69 and verse 8 says, "I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children." Well, Jesus' earthly brothers certainly did not believe in him until after the resurrection. In fact, John chapter 7 and verse 5, early in Jesus' ministry, it says, even his own brothers did not believe in him. Well, there's no doubt that Simeon's sword drove the deepest wound into Mary's heart when she saw her bloodied and crucified son on the cross. Perhaps she could have prevented the cross by saying to the authorities, "Hey, he's my son, and he's crazy for thinking he's the Messiah. His brothers and I know better." But Mary didn't do that. She remained silent as it all took place. And no doubt she was beginning to understand that this boy Jesus, her son, who was now a grown man, was more than just her son. He was her Messiah. Well, friend, all of this brings us to the words of honor that Jesus spoke to his mother Mary from the cross. Let's take another look at the way John records the scene in John chapter 19 and verses 25 and 26. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing there, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. You know, in the midst of the brutality that is Roman crucifixion, these are touching and tender words from Jesus. As death approached, Jesus had the presence of mind and the tenderness of heart to consider even the welfare of his mother. And in doing so, he models for us the fifth commandment. Do you remember this one? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you." That commandment still applies to us today, doesn't it? Now, many speculate that Joseph, who was Jesus' earthly father, was dead. He had passed away at this time. We don't know for certain, but Jesus spoke these words to his earthly mother Mary, who was still living and standing with him next to the cross. You know, honoring our parents is a lifelong responsibility, friend. There's a lot of talk in Washington these days about repealing a health care law. We don't know if that will happen or not. But one thing we know for sure, God never repealed the law he gave to Moses in the Ten Commandments, including the one about honoring your father and your mother. In fact, the New Testament reiterates the fifth commandment. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on this earth." Hey, are you honoring your parents? Is there something you can do or must do right now to show honor to them? I want to encourage you to do that, friend, especially during this special time of the year as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22 comes to mind. "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Well, those ancient words still apply to us today, friend, and I hope you take them to heart and put them into practice by honoring your father and your mother. Jesus honored his mother by making arrangements for her care from the cross, and he entrusted his mother to John, the beloved disciple. Spurgeon, in his book, Christ's Words from the Cross, says, "Even today, Jesus selects those whom he loves best and puts his poor people under their wing. Take them gladly and treat them well." Those are good words from Spurgeon. And that's exactly what John did. He received Mary as his own mother, and took care of her well. I hope you're taking care of your parents well as well. Well, here we are with these four women and the beloved disciple standing with Jesus near the cross. All of this reminds me of the words of an old hymn that asks, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Friend, if you were living in the first century, would you be among those who were standing with Jesus and for him at the cross? Are you doing that today? Are you standing with him? Are you standing for him in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, even in your place of work? You may find yourself standing all by yourself, but are you standing with Jesus, where you can hear even the words of honor that he spoke to his mother Mary? But are you standing with Jesus during this Holy Week? And as we go into the most holiest moment and time of Holy Week, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, friend, I want to encourage you, stand with Jesus. Stand with him. Stand by your man. More than that, stand by your Messiah and your Savior and your Lord, who died for you, who shed his blood on the cross, and yes, rose triumphantly from the grave 3 days later. Well, friend, we're just getting started in our Holy Week remembrance, and we're preparing our hearts to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ by looking at these last words that he spoke from the cross. They're powerful words, aren't they? And they do provide us with a window into our Savior's soul. So far, we've looked at Jesus' words of forgiveness when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We looked at his words of assurance when he turned to that thief and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And today we've talked about those words of honor that he spoke directly to his mother Mary. I want to encourage you this week to take some extra time and to meditate on the cross of Christ. And maybe this will help. In his book by that same title, The Cross of Christ, the late British pastor and theologian John Stott describes the painting by Holman Hunt, a painting titled The Shadow of Death. And here's what Stott writes about it. He says, "The painting depicts the inside of the carpenter's shop in Nazareth. Stripped to the waist, Jesus stands by a wooden trestle on which he had put down his saw. He lifts his eyes toward heaven, and the look on his face is either pain or ecstasy or both. He also stretches, raising both arms above his head. And as he does so, the evening sunlight streaming through the open door casts a dark shadow in the form of a cross on the wall behind him, where his tool rack looks like a horizontal bar on which his hands have been crucified." He says the tools remind us of the fateful hammer and nails. Stott goes on to say, "In the left foreground, a woman kneels among the wood chippings, her hands resting on the chest in which the rich gifts of the Magi are kept. We cannot see her face because she has averted it, but we know that she is Mary. She looks startled, or so it seems, at her son's cross-like shadow on the wall." Well, you know, friend, we're left to wonder just what Jesus and his mother Mary might have been thinking during his growing up years. I wonder if they ever had conversations about the cross, or did she ever mention the sword about which Simeon spoke? We'll never know because we're not given those insights in Scripture. But one thing we do know, Mary stood with her son and she embraced him as her Savior. And friend, I hope you'll do the same right now, if you haven't already done so. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for the cross of Jesus, where he shed his blood to pay the penalty for my sins. I also thank you that he rose from the dead, and I affirm my belief in the resurrected Christ right now and trust him as my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins and for giving me a home in heaven. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. For a complete online catalog of Ron's audio resources, visit ronjonesministries.com. Thanks for listening.